Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Have a couple of housekeeping items here, as we do normally on meeting day. Since we're doing these Zoom meetings, is that please, when it's your turn to speak, please speak up and state your name clearly prior to speaking, okay? And then remember to mute your microphone either on your computer or on your telephone. Those that you're on the phone, star 6 will unmute your mic and star 6 again will remute it. When you're not speaking, please leave your microphones muted. Otherwise, we end up with feedback of anything of your kids running around or the cat knocking over your plants. So we'll go ahead and conduct this meeting as we would if we were all in the same room here today. We'll go ahead and we will offer public comment on every action item that we have. We'll have also public comment towards the beginning of the meeting and also at the very end. So when you wish to speak, please be to the point, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. With that said, any of you would like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll get started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next up on our agenda today, we have item 4. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the agenda for September the 1st, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes or corrections to make to today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there are a few. We would like to move number 14, 15, and 16 to occur immediately after number 7, and that would be before staff reports.
All righty.
I'd like to continue number 13 to the September 15th County Commission meeting. And that, for reference, is the collective bargaining agreement with the fire union.
Okay, I think we'll go ahead and we'll move 12 and 13 to that date. How's that? All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda and the changes that we've made? And you'll notice that I will go ahead and pause after asking questions. Sometimes it takes a while for people to respond back and forth since it's going over the internet. Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve today's agenda with the changes made.
I move to approve today's agenda with the changes made.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the minutes for August the 4th, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing no comments, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes for the August 4th, 2020 meeting.
Second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6, it's today's consent agenda. Are there any public comments regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing no comments, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next up on our agenda this morning is item number 7. And we'll open up now for public comment. Would anyone like to make public comment today? Hearing no public comment, we'll continue on to item number 14, which is we're going to recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Bringing us up to item number 15, which is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of ordinance number 20-310, authorizing the issuance by Story County, Nevada, of its sewer revenue bond series 2020 in the maximum principal amount of $264,000 for the construction of the sewer plant in Gold Hill, Nevada, and providing other matters relating thereto. So, Austin, who's going to handle this? Is Kendra going to handle this, or Mike, or you, or...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have Kendra Follett. She's with us, our bond counsel, and then Laura Mathers with us as well. So
very good.
Go ahead and pass it over to Kendra.
All right, Kendra. You have the stage.
Good morning, Commissioners. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, thank you, Kendra.
This ordinance authorizes the issuance by the county, this is Kendra Follett from Sherman and Howard Bond Council to the county. This ordinance authorizes the issuance by the county of a sewer revenue bond in the maximum principal amount of $264,000. The bond will be sold to USCA Rural Development pursuant to a letter of conditions dated May 9, 2019 and as amended and finally amended on September 19, 2019, in connection with the Gold Hill Sewer Package Treatment Plan. The ordinance has been prepared pursuant to the terms of a letter of conditions from USDA. The letter of conditions obligates a loan in the amount of $264,000, a grant from USDA in the amount of $785,800, and NDEP state revolving funds in the amount of $530,000. The letter of conditions also provides for a maximum interest rate of 2.50%. USDA sets their rates quarterly, and the current quarterly rate that expires on September 30th is 1.125%. If the county closes by September 30th, the rate on this bond will be 1.125%. The county is anticipating a loan closing of September 17th, 2020. This ordinance has been prepared for adoption as if an emergency exists under NRS 350.579. This provision is procedural only. This provision is procedural only. No emergency needs to be declared, and it is just a procedure exclusively for bond issues pursuant to NRS 350.579. The bond will be repayable from sewer funds and will not be a general obligation of the county. I'm available to answer any questions, as well as Laura. She's been very helpful in this process, and I believe Mike Nevin is also here to answer questions about the project.
Okay. Before we ask any questions, maybe I'll have Mike Nevin weigh in on this.
Good morning, Commissioners. This is Laura Mather. Can I interject real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. I just have one correction in the staff summary. It states that the county has accepted a bid for the construction, and we have not yet accepted a bid for this project. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Okay. Mike, are you on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me okay, Mr. Chairman?
Loud and clear, Mike.
Thank you, Chairman McBride, members of the commission, Mike Nevin, for the record. This is just, following through with the letter of conditions, getting the bond created by ordinance and sold to USDA prior to closing. The other thing I might mention, Laura, just mention the fact that we have not gone to bid for the construction. We did, however, accept a contract for the equipment for the plant from Fluence, and that equipment is currently being built, as you recall. That bid was approved some time ago by the commission, so we are moving forward, and this is just a part of the process. Unless you have any additional questions, that's about all I can interject at this point.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I'll go to Commissioner Carmona and see, do you have any questions for any of the participants today?
Not at this time, Chairman. Thank you.
All right, very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, sir?
No, sir, thank you.
All right, we'll open up. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, at this time I'm going to go to our legal counsel, Ms. Langer. Before we call for a motion to vote on this, if I'm correct on this, we need to go ahead and read the title of the ordinance before we go forward.
That's right, Mr. Chairman. And my understanding is this is the first reading and that it would be set again for September 15th.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right.
I'm sorry, but this is for, this is for adoption as if an emergency exists, and it's in one reading.
Okay, great. Thank you. So the emergency that you were talking about allows us to have one reading in this particular situation.
That's correct. You know, and technically there is no emergency needs to be declared. It's just procedural, as if an emergency exists.
Thank you.
All right. Kendra, thank you for the clarification there. Okay, so the... an ordinance authorizing the issuance of the Story County, Nevada Sewer Revenue Bond Series 2020 in the maximum principal amount of $264,000 to pay in part the cost to finance a sewage project, providing the forms, terms, and conditions of the bond and the security in the sale, therefore providing other matters relating thereto and the effective date thereof. So with that said, Commissioner Carmona, if you would entertain a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve ordinance number 20-310, authorizing the issuance of the Story County, Nevada Sewer Revenue Bond, Series 2020, in the maximum principal amount of $264,000 to pay in part the cost to finance a sewerage project, providing the forms, terms, and conditions of the bond, the security and the sale thereof, providing other matters relating thereto, an effective date hereof.
Very good.
I'll second that motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. So moving along now to item number 16, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible adoption of ordinance 20-311, authorizing the issuance by Story County, Nevada, of its water revenue bond, Series 2020A, Series 2020B, and Series 2020C, in the combination maximum principal amount of $3,171,000 in order to finance the 5-mile water line and hillside tank projects and providing other matters relating thereto. Okay. Ms. Follette, are you back up for this one also?
I am. This is Kendra Follett from Sherman & Howard, bond counsel to the county. This one, like the other one, is pursuant to a letter of conditions and obligation from USDA Rural Development for 3 water revenue bonds. USDA obligates, as they obligate bonds, they initiate different loans. So pursuant to the different obligations, there'll be a bond in the amount of $2,126,000. $701,344,000 for the combined maximum principal amount of $3,171,000. Also, project sources are a grant from USDA Rural Development in the amount of $737,000 for a total project cost of $3,908,000. The commissioner has authorized an interfund loan pursuant to Resolution 18-484 on March 20, 2018. And this interfund loan was from the general fund to the water system fund in the amount of $2,126,000. With the closing of the A bond, that interfund loan will be repaid in full in the amount of $2,126,000. The letter of conditions, obligated at a maximum interest rate of 1.375%. As with the other one, USCA has informed the county that if the county closes a loan by September 30th, the interest rate on all three of these bonds will be 1.125%. The county is anticipating closing the loans on these three bonds on September 17th, 2020. These bonds will all be paid from water revenues of the county and will not be general obligations. As with the other ordinance, this one is presented for adoption in a single reading as if an emergency exists, as authorized by NRS 350.579 for municipal bonds. I'm available for any questions, as is Laura Mather and Mike Mather.
Great. Thank you, Kendra. So I'll go right over to Laura now and see if you have any follow-up on this, Laura.
Nothing more to add. Thank you.
Very good. Now I'll move over to Mike Nevin.
I don't have much to add other than the fact that the project is proceeding, and just want to extend my thanks to Kendra for stepping up to the plate and getting this all put together in a rapid fashion so we can meet the closing date requirements per USDA in order to get the interest rate at the 1.125%. I might mention on the three loans, Kendra mentioned the first loan, we had an original interest rate of 1.375%. Loan number 10, we had an interest rate maximum of 2.50%, and number 14, the loan C there, the obligation C, and the revenue bond at 1.125%. So it's great to hear that USDA, like I've mentioned before, has reduced that interest rate and will take advantage of it prior to the loan closing of September 30th. We anticipate, as Kendra mentioned, the closing date of September 17th. So just good news there. Here to answer any additional questions, should there be any. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I'll go to Commissioner Carmona. Commissioner, do you have any questions for any of the participants?
No questions at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, sir?
Just a comment. It's a great opportunity, and what a nice interest rate adjustment. So win-win for the county. No questions.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Lance. Yeah. And to follow up on that, I mean, we've had a terrific relationship with the USDA Rural Development over the years. They've been our go-to agency to help out with funding. This is a great time to do public works projects. In the size that we've been doing them, we're never ever going to see interest rates this low probably ever again in our lifetime. So there's no better time than right now to do all the improvements that, the county's going forward with. So with that said, I'll go ahead and open up. Is there public comment regarding this agendized item? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and read the ordinance. An ordinance authorizing the issuance of the Story County, Nevada Water Revenue Bonds Series 2020A, 2020B, and 2020C in the combined maximum principal amount of $3,171,000 to pay in part the cost to finance a water project, providing the forms and terms and conditions of the bond, the security, and the sale, therefore providing other matters relating thereto, and the effective date hereof. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve, please?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the adoption of Ordinance 20-311, authorizing the issuance of the Story County, Nevada Water Revenue Bonds Series 2020A, 2020B, and 2020C in the combined maximum principal amount of $3,171,000 to pay in part the cost to finance a water project, providing the forms, terms, and conditions of the bond, the security, and the sale thereof, providing other matters relating thereto, and effective date thereof.
I'll second that motion.
Very good. So I have a motion and I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Item 17 is going to recess as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, which is going to move us right back to item number 8. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports, and I'll start off with the Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Antonoro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of things informational today. The passing of a couple of county residents, long-term county residents, just became known to me this week, the passing of Ray McPartlin from out in the Highlands. I'm sure everybody recalls his wife, Carlin. She passed a few years ago. Ray has now joined her. That just came to light. It actually happened a few months ago. And then Saturday, long-term resident George Stadler, he and his wife, Darla, was very involved with the Gold Hill Theater Troupe for a number of years, been around Virginia City for decades, lived down in the Mark Twain area. George passed from his long-term illness this past weekend.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Over at Operations at Public Works, Mike Northend. See him on the board. There's a lot of people on the board. Okay. How about the Community Chest and Library? Is Eric Schoen on today?
I'm here. Thank you, Chairman McBride and fellow commissioners and everybody else. A few updates, some I think that are rather exciting. If you've been to our facility lately, you'll notice that we finally are putting the finishing touches on the north section, which used to be just sort of dirt, unimproved dirt towards the propane tank. Our youth teams have been hard at it, converting that into a sort of a peaceful, arty kind of place where people can relex, decompress. They've had a lot of help with that. One individual who's been really instrumental in that is Ryan's Rock and Ho. His company, his business, he donated the rock that's been laid down, and he also helped build the retaining wall, a little sort of inset that we built to move our garbage receptacle, the bin, out from in front of the sign. So now that's not the first thing you see when you walk in. We are also incorporating two of those sculptures. They're actually a fairly good size. They used to be in front of the high school, theater at the high school. Those have been displaced due to some work that they're doing down below. So we will actually be putting those up in the patio. Anticipate that will be all done in about a week or two, and then we'll have probably some sort of official unveiling. But all credit goes to Shannon Person, our youth activities director, and the youth team for coming up with the concept and making it a very, very cool space. If you have a chance to check it out, it's a really, really nice spot to just hang out. Some program updates for you. Our early childhood education program, we're probably having our strongest demand ever. I think we're to the point where we have a small waiting list, but I want to encourage folks, if you're still looking for daycare, to please contact us so we know at least how many people might still need daycare. I hope people know if we're nothing if not creative, and if we can find a way, we will. So people should still reach out. Our before and after school program, and let me separate this in Lockwood, is happening Monday through Thursday, before and after school. Nothing on Friday, just because we can't quite make that happen. In Virginia City, we do have both before and after school, Monday through Thursday, as well as all day Friday, and that's for the elementary students. For our middle school, basically we have me, the fully licensed teacher of our own, who is available Monday through Thursday. I don't know about Friday, but basically for the 2 days a week that students are not in school, because you will remember that middle school and high school students are only on-site at school 2 days a week. We have basically a drop-in center for them to come by. We do have sort of a maximum capacity, so at some point in time, if we have enough students, we may have to start doing a sign-up process of some sort, but generally we've had a good handful or two of kids who are happy to sort of connect and have that support through for the classwork. A big shout out to the Episcopalian Church for helping us get our food pantry before we stopped. And people are needing food. We really, just people should feel comfortable reaching out and letting us know. That's why we have the food pantry to help out with that. Now, last but not least, we understand in talking with our partners at health centers that flu shots are coming sometime in, I think, later part of September, October. We will be getting, once we have those dates, I know Stacy at Senior Center is going to be working with them on some of those clinics, especially down in Lockwood, but we will be getting those dates out there when we have those flyers. So just, you know, probably more important than ever. I know sometimes people are a little bit on the fence about whether or not to get flu shots. This year, because it's something that we can get in front of, especially with COVID, it's especially important to get a flu shot. So just putting that out there for folks to be thinking about getting those flu shots when they come available. And with that, that wraps up my report.
Thank you, Eric. Mr. Carmona, do you have any questions for Eric?
No, at this time.
Very good. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions for Eric?
No, thank you, sir.
All righty. Moving right along down the list here, our IT director, James Dean. Did we lose James? All right. Why don't we move on down the line? Our Director of Public Works, Jason Wurzbecki.
Good morning, Chairman. Nothing new to report at this time.
All right. Thank you, Jason. We're at Labor Relations and HR, Janie Green.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Over to Tourism Department, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, everybody on the call today. From tourism, just a couple of things, a couple of updates. We was fortunate enough to sit face-to-face via Zoom on both cases with a couple of our senators from Nevada last week to talk about tourism. There's an emphasis now where there hasn't been before on the importance of having tourism lead the way to repairing some of the damage that COVID obviously has done to our economy. So that's been some good news. There are some funds available for destinations like ours, and we're actively looking at that and where it's best suited to help Virginia City. We've also last week made the official announcement. I'm sure everyone was aware. Pretty much canceled, I guess, or worked with the event organizers to reschedule a couple of last standing events. The Grand Prix, unfortunately, was one of those. The other one was the Ferrari Hill Climb. So right now, we're looking at a couple of events for Halloween time. We're still working on those details, and we're still working on some Christmas stuff. But other than that, and then a cruise for Veterans Day parade, versus parade. But other than that, it's pretty much looking at next year for any type of a major event. And then with that, just to fill that void, because we know it's going to be tough, but we're seeing that now. Even yesterday we saw, less people on the boardwalk. People are going back to school and vacations are kind of winding down, so we know that we need to kick it in gear. We put just about close to $150,000 into a marketing campaign for this fall. Something we haven't ever done that big of a campaign for a short time frame, and in the hopes is to drive traffic, specifically on weekends, some overnight traffic, staycation, if you will, for the fall. So everybody should be seeing billboards in and around Northern Nevada. You should see Pandora radio ads or hear them. Online digital stuff, it should be in your face just about everywhere starting last week. So, that's all I got.
Very good. Thank you, Denny. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Denny?
Nope, not today. Thank you.
All righty. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, sir?
I have no questions. You know, it's been a real challenge in our BCTC this year. A lot of disappointment. But I'm also hearing that some of the retailers and the folks along C Street are actually having a pretty good year. If we can sustain it with all of this advertising, maybe we can pull a rabbit out of the hat. So thank you, Danny, for all the extra work there.
All right. Sure. Very good. Thank you, Lance. All right, let's go over, go back to Laura Mather, with the, community relations and emergency management.
Good morning, thank you. For the record, Laura Mather, community relations coordinator. First I want to thank the commissioners for approving a portion of the county's CARES Act funds to go to grants for Story County small businesses. The grant will go live on September 8th. Rad Strategies is getting the word out for us. And thank you to Denny Dawson and his team. They passed out flyers to all of the businesses on C Street to let everybody know about the grant. On that note, we will be holding a virtual town hall meeting this Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning. We will have Daphne Stapleton from NACO on, and she will do a presentation. This will kind of give our businesses a heads up on how the process is going to work. They will also have access to help from the Nevada Small Business Development Center. So we have lots of help lined up for all of our businesses. So hopefully there won't be any issues or anything like that when they start applying for this grant. For the emergency management side, we are preparing for the community-based testing that we will be doing over the next 2 years. Our biggest concern is how we're going to handle it during the winter. We are currently doing a lot of research on how we can do this. We're researching the best ways to keep everybody from freezing. So that includes both portable and semi-permanent drive-through structures, staging areas, heaters, a generator, those kind of things, so that we can continue to do the mandated testing and not freeze. Because this is directly related to the COVID-19 response, we will be submitting the cost for the testing sites through the CARES Act funds as well. That's all I have for the community relations part of our report. I don't believe Joe Curtis is on the call, so I can go ahead and do his report as well.
Why don't you go right ahead and do that, Laura?
Okay. So Story County has hit its seventh case since March 1st. We're doing very well compared to some of the other counties. The Quad Counties, however, as a whole, we have a total of 1,021 cases. 85 of those are active, 921 are recovered, and unfortunately we've had 15 deaths due to the COVID-19 in the Quad Counties. We had our last community-based testing site in Lockwood on Friday the 28th. Thank you again to the Chief Posse for helping us set up, take down, and do traffic control, although there were quite a few less people this time for testing. Our next testing will be Tuesday, September 9th at the Virginia City Senior Center. It will be from 9 to 11. Emergency management, particularly Joe Curtis, has been working with the school district on a regular basis to help them prepare for school for this school year and dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Everything from thinking about how we have water for everybody. So we don't want everybody in the school using the communal drinking fountains. So we've been organizing things like bottled water and that kind of stuff for the students and staff. We had the Quad County Hazmat exercise on Tuesday the 25th. It was a transportation accident. About 35 people were in attendance from Story, Carson, Douglas, and Lyon counties, including pyramid tribal agencies. This was a full functional exercise where a leak in a large tote of simulated sulfuric acid was built. The exercise was mandated quarterly by the State Emergency Response Commission. We used a drone to do the initial size up of the incident, and then they did a fully suited up approach and mitigation of the leak by a team of technicians. All went very well, and it lasted from about 9 a.m. until 3:30. Joe Curtis also completed an after-action report, which is required by the state. There was also a hazmat exercise at ABCC. That is the Asian Union Electric Chemical Corporation located in TRIC. This exercise was on Saturday the 29th, and AGCC is a producer of hazardous products that are used in the computer industry. So they did this hazmat exercise in order to sort of make sure they're up to speed on everything that needs to be done to get associated with the Story County Fire Department. It all went really well. Joe was there on site, so he was able to point out anything that they missed or anything like that. So it was a great way for everybody to get to know each other, figure out how everything works in case, heaven forbid, something like that happens. That's the end of my report. If anybody has any questions for me.
Okay. Mr. Carmona, do you have any questions for Laura?
No questions. Just wanted to thank her for the updates regarding COVID and the testing.
Very good. Right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura?
I have no questions. Thank you, Laura.
Laura, the follow-up, what was the date of the next COVID-19 testing that we have scheduled in the county?
It's Tuesday, September 8th, and it's from 9 to 11 at the Virginia City Senior Center.
Okay, so we should probably have some accurate numbers then for our next meeting on the 15th. You know, with the CDC's most recent recommendation that those persons not symptomatic not take the test, it's going to be interesting to see if the numbers are going to drop. We know that Lander County is in trouble with the governor's office because they're not able to get enough people in that county to participate in testing. So, you know.
That's correct, but I do know in the state of Nevada Department of Health overruled that decision, for lack of a better word. The state of Nevada disagrees with the CDC's requirements and issued a statement on that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that the state of Nevada's experts are more qualified than the CDC, so, and the WHO. So anyway, thank you, Laura.
Laura just said that the COVID testing in BC is going to be September the 8th. I heard the 9th earlier. So which date is it?
I apologize. Let me verify that really quick. Yes, it's Tuesday, September 8th.
Thank you.
All righty. 1 week from today. All righty. Very good. So, all things water. Mike Nevin, do you have anything to add today?
Yeah, I just... thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mike Devon, for the record. Just to give you some brief updates on where we are with the project, I'll start with the hillside tanks. As you recall, we issued the notice to proceed. Construction started on the 8th of August. The contractor is progressing per the project schedule. If you or to look up west, the town there above the Divide Fitness building there, you'll see them work on the pad for tank number one. That is about 80% complete. We're awaiting delivery of the remaining retaining blocks so we can build the east wall. That has to be completed prior to finishing the pad and the construction of the tank to start. So the contractor has moved down the road a bit and started on the new main water line from State Route 342 there on the Open Grave Road, and we're proceeding west up towards the tank site. So that will be in progress for the next couple of weeks here. It's our intent to get that line all the way in and the new tie-in at the highway complete while we still have some decent weather because there's some paving that is associated with that work once the water line has been installed. So that's what we're doing currently. The contractor's work schedule has changed a bit. This week they've gone to a 4:10 schedule. They'll be working from 7 a.m. to about 5:30 p.m.
Monday through Thursday. So that's where we are with that. Regarding the Gold Hill wastewater project, we are in the process of continuing to cross the T's and dot the I's, so to speak, regarding requirements prior to advertising for bid. There's a little bit of cleanup work. One thing to mention will be on your agenda for the September 15th meeting will be approval of the loan resolution itself. That was a form from rural development that somehow got left off of the original packet when the loan grant letter of conditions was approved back last September, actually. So that will just be a cleanup item on your next commission agenda so we can get that document executed and back to USDA as required. The other thing I'll mention is we had applied to NV Energy for power for the site and have submitted the application, and all along have been under the impression that we would have to purchase a phase converter for the site in order to operate the plant equipment. Originally, when we had made contact with NV Energy regarding three-phase power to this site, it turned out at that point to be pretty cost prohibitive. They wanted somewhere in the neighborhood of $45,000 to run three-phase up to the site. Well, after reviewing our application, they made an internal decision and contacted us and informed us that they have come to the conclusion that they would only charge $2,000 to run three-phase power up to the site. So that's a huge difference. So naturally, we're in agreement to go ahead and do that. It's just a win-win all the way around. The one thing that it does do is makes a little bit of a change to the fluids equipment at the plant as far as upgrade to the three-phase, but when you take into consideration that we will not have to purchase a phase converter and have it installed at a cost of about $7,000, their cost to provide the upgrades for the three-phase is around $6,000, so it's pretty much a wash. So, good news there. Thanks to NV Energy and their change of heart. So, we're working too with MDEP. It's been a little bit frustrating, and I can understand with the COVID-19 concerns, but, I have my own opinions on that. I'll keep those to myself. But it appears that their entities, their compliance section, the permits branch, and the Office of Financial Assistance are not all on the same page down there. Although beings are in the same building and on the same floor. We had some discussions with their bureau chief, Elizabeth Kingland, regarding the process. We had originally put in our application for the discharge permit back in March, and they still have not got around to announcing a public hearing on the process, and technically that's supposed to be completed before we go to bid. Well, in our meeting, I had made mention, I said, you folks are the ones that have issued, these threatening letters to the county that if, we do not move along and get this done and complete, that we're facing the probability of fines in excess of $10,000 a day. So she said, well, let me think about it.
She did get back to us and said they will likely issue the county an administrative order to allow us to proceed with the bidding process if, in fact, they can't get the permit for the discharge of the treated effluent to us in a timely fashion. But it appears now that it may all come together about at the same time, but you know, we're willing to work with them, but it's just, they've had some changes in personnel down there. They've got a new engineer on the Office of Financial Assistance side that has, you know, seems sort of lost in the process. So the other folks, Elizabeth in particular, is trying to get all these people on the same page. So at least she is working with us. But the process at times is frustrating because of the slowed down response we get. And as I made mention, you know, they throw the COVID-19 at us, and I can understand, but nevertheless, we'd certainly like to get moving. But until we have everybody's blessing, we're kind of stuck with what we got. But we're on constantly, so it'll happen. It's just slower than we originally anticipated. And that's all I have for you, unless you folks have questions of me. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike?
No. Do we have any sort of a target completion date for the Gold Hill Sewer Project?
Thank you, Jay, for the question. Well, it was our hope to have it completed hopefully by the end of June 2021. Of course, weather dependent. Both those projects are hoped to be completed by that date.
Okay.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
No, thank you, sir.
All righty. Great. Thanks, Mike. I'm going to go back to the Director of IT, James Dean.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. Can you guys hear me?
Hear you loud and clear, James.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just a quick update on our security upgrades rollout. We are currently deploying our Arctic Wolf security solution, which is going on every PC, server, and internet connection on the county. That allows us to monitor malicious type events 24/7, 365 days a year. So another upgrade to our security, and that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, James. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for James?
Not at this time.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for James?
No, sir.
Thank you, James. Lockwood Senior Citizen Center, Beth Kent.
Hello, Commissioners. The only update I have is in regards to the new programs that we have for the Lockwood Center right now. So we have the house cleaning, and then we also have the new transportation grant that we got. So that covers Virginia City Highlands, Mark Twain, Gold Hill, and Lockwood. Right now, the house cleaning is really taking off. It's really popular in Lockwood. There is no cost to the seniors. We do have a suggested donation of $2, but it's not required. The other update I have for the Lockwood Senior Center is Nevada Health Centers is bringing the flu vaccines and having an event on October 8th, which is a Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And that's also at no cost, and it's for adults and children. And then they'll also be doing an event that same day at Hillside Elementary. Those are the only updates I have. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Beth. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Beth?
None. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Beth?
No, thank you, sir.
All righty. Over at the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I just want to update you on the ongoing of our annual audit. From our auditor, Joe Costanza's words, we are in great shape and moving forward, looking at the next few months of being on time with our audit this year, so that's great news for everybody. I have a meeting with him tomorrow to get further updates and see where we stand, so I will keep you posted.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
Not at this time.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, sir?
Just to thank you for getting that audit done. Every year it's been lagging and delayed, and it's pretty wonderful. Jennifer has that on track, and we're going to come in on time. So thank you for that, Jennifer.
Very good. Okay, I see that Joe Curtis has re-entered the room. So Laura gave you a report. Do you have anything to add, Joe?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. No, I really don't. I gave her my notes, and I think she probably covered everything very well. I just would reiterate that the interaction we had with AUECC was quite fantastic. It was very well. That's a good organization. I'm very concerned about their situation there. And that would be all I'd have to add. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joe. All right, we'll go over to the County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Nevin, County Fire Chief. The only things that I really have to mention that Laura kind of hit on were the hazmat drills we had last week. Great participation with the Quad County drill. Everybody seemed pretty happy, and we got high accolades from Mr. Curtis, so I was happy about that. And then we had a smaller drill with AUECC on Saturday, more of a familiarization so they could iron out their response and work with us directly, and part of their procedure with the state as well. So, and the only other thing I have is we sent a brush engine to the slinker fire, or slink fire, excuse me, get all those confused when they happen so close together, but the slink fire in the area of Colville, Walker, the California side, they went down last night to provide some immediate heat structure protection. We've been busy as usual and business as usual, and that's all I have to report unless you have any questions.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Mr. Carmona, any questions for the chief?
No. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jeff?
Seems like it's a busier fire season this year than the past. Is that right, Jeff?
I think it seems to be steady. California, because of the lightning storms that they had, a little bit more than a month ago now, maybe a little bit less. They seem to kick off a little bit sooner. Nevada's been steady. I would say it's probably in line with the past few years. And luckily, we've dodged that those fires in Story County this year, so we'll just knock on wood to keep it that way.
Seems like the smoke's been in the valley for 10 years.
The wind patterns have brought that in, and hopefully we get some respite from that for the next few days anyway.
Yeah, I heard that's possible. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, Chief. All right. County District Attorney, Ann Langer.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ann. County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we are still interviewing for our Human Resources Director. We've been interviewing for quite some time with a number of applicants, and we're getting closer to a decision. Last August 27th, we had a town hall down in Lockwood. It was a pretty good turnout, some good questions, and we're anticipating another town hall in Mark Twain. We have open air one outside so people can spread out and not have to be inside the building. Probably will be at the parking lot at the community center down there in about 3 weeks. We'll send a notice to everybody shortly when that date will be. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
No questions. Just wanted to applaud the continued town halls in the neighborhood. I was able to attend the Lockwood one, and as usual, I think Austin did a great job presenting information, and just keep up that part of the work.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
You know, I don't, but I'll follow up with James' comment. Austin has been great at these town halls, and I think a lot of the folks in the county have missed or misjudged how long he's been doing this. He's been many, many meetings in all of the outlying communities, and he's taking in a lot of community thoughts and suggestions. But we're really in touch out there, and I applaud his efforts in staying in touch with everybody in the county. I think that's been missed in some ways. Thank you very much, Austin.
Yeah, it is. It's not easy being a moving dartboard. So, from the county clerk's office, Doreen Evan.
Nothing to report.
Nothing from the county clerk's office. All right. We're going to move along now to item number 9. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. And I'll start with Commissioner Gilman.
Yeah, I have a couple of things today, if I may. One thing I'm just curious about, and perhaps Joe Curtis can help, not at this time, but future, but I noticed that the CDC has now come out that of the 153,000 deaths in the nation of COVID, only about 6% of those were actually due to just COVID. They all had, heart attacks or kidney failure or... So COVID deaths in the United States have been less than 10,000 to date over the last, 6 months? And I'm just curious if we track that in the local quad counties, if the death is listed as COVID, were there underlying circumstances rather than just a COVID death? I think that's a very interesting number that's starting to appear. So Joe, if you would take a thought about that, and I don't suppose you have the information today, but if it's possible, I'd love to hear a report on the actual COVID deaths. If not in the state, certainly in the quad counties.
Mr. Gilman, yes, I can tell you this, that I have asked that same question myself some time back, and it apparently is not closely tracked here. I will do some further research and look at what we can come up with to substantiate or whatever that case may be. But I think that's what we're finding. In some respects, we have some information within a quad county basis that might show that. But I will try to research. So the problem is that we can't get specific information because of the HIPAA Act. But we'll look into it and see what I can come up with.
It would be a very interesting number. I think we're all going to be enlightened here one of these days as everything services. The other thing I'd like to, Mr. Chairman, is approach is we've been working in the county on our capital improvement plan called the CIP, if you will. And we're developing that plan for a year or 2 years or five or 10 or 20. So we can put our money away and bank it for the kind of things that we'd like to see improved in the county. On a short-term basis, we have been talking about the Lockwood Community and Senior Center. And I want to stress that I have learned that a lot of folks believe that in Lockwood it is a senior center just for seniors. And no, it is not. It's a community center for all and a senior center. And I would like staff to start currently some public meetings down there and take a look at those facilities. I know they need a commercial kitchen so they can start offering some meals, kind of like we do up in Virginia City at the Community Senior Center. But we might look at doing those improvements down there in Lockwood in the next budget cycle. And so if we could start now looking at that, I'd like to undertake it. And the other thing is, for me, is I'm really concerned about all of the public unrest that we're seeing in every city in the nation. And, I have a report that came out of Washington, D.C. here just recently. We stay in contact with Zoom meetings and things, and The Angela Davis, who is a Marxist here in the nation, said that these riots are merely rehearsals for the future revolution that's coming by Black Lives Matter, Antifa, other anarchists. And all they're doing is laying the groundwork for the larger revolution. And there's some thought that that might even follow the election, depending upon the election. But subject to the approval and concurrence of Sheriff Antonoro, I would love to have staff take a look at upgrading or maybe a replacement of our Lockwood substation facilities. So if in the event we need an expansion of some type or additional deputies, that at least we have a thought process going on an expansion. So with Sheriff Antonoro's concurrence, if we could look at both of those buildings down at Lockwood, staff, I would be very appreciative. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Lance. Commissioner Carmona. You have comments today, sir?
Nope, not today. Thank you.
All righty. And neither do I, so that'll go ahead, and then we'll move on to item number 10. Discussion for possible action. Authorize the county manager to approve a contract with the United States Geological Survey, the USGS, up to $25,000 to continue voluntary and limited monitoring of groundwater levels and quality, aquifer conditions, and other geotechnical matters in the Virginia City Highlands, Highland Ranches, and Virginia Ranches area of Story County during the 2020-2021 fiscal year. This is a continuation of the prior year contract for this purpose. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Austin Osborne for the record. And I want to also put for the record David Smith from the USGS, United States Geological Survey, is also with us. I'll give a very brief overview, and then I'd be happy to pass it over to David if you have anything you'd like to mention on this. This is part of a five-year program that we've been doing in the Highlands to measure groundwater on a voluntary basis. I believe there's about 70 or so volunteers that David can certainly give details on. And we've invested $25,000 a year over 5 years on this, and the USGS has matched that with an additional approximately $25,000 a year. This will be the last year of the program, and it will help us then do what our Story County Master Plan says, is once this study is done, then start working with the community in the Highlands what they would like to see happen for water resources and water resources planning. So at this point, I'll be happy to pass it over to David.
Thanks, Austin. Can everyone hear me?
Can hear you loud and clear, David.
Excellent. Good morning. David Smith, hydrologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. The agenda item we're requesting is for to continue our groundwater study with Story County. And I think we have one more year, Austin, so this is year four of the five-year study. Currently, we are slightly delayed in this past year's objectives due to COVID-19. Mainly, that's the collection of aquifer properties, where we have to knock on some doors for residents that are currently in our network. Due to some health considerations, we've considered delaying that into the fall to when opportunities are better for that kind of contact with individuals in the community. However, our current water level network is on track. We just delayed our measurement in June to July, but we were able to collect that. And with that, usually I can summarize where we're at as far as the water year. And it's always important to consider how closely groundwater conditions are tied to precipitation in the BC Highlands on an annual basis. And I've gone through this before, but the average precipitation in the BC Highlands is about 12.5 inches a year. We started our study in 2017 winter had already occurred. We were at, the winter was about approximately 180% above normal, about 22 inches. In 2018, during our study, that was approximately an average year, so about 100% of normal, or around 12 inches. In 2019, we were at 116% of normal. So what I'm getting at is that for 3 years where we've been monitoring or seeing the effects of really above normal winters, we're now in the stage in 2020 where we're at 65% of normal. And it's equally important for the study to monitor during much above and much below normal conditions. This is the first time we've seen below normal conditions. Currently, we've been over 75 and below residents. We're almost at 60 for the monitoring network. It varies year to year based on who moves out or if wells are available, depending on the property.
for this year and the status comparing this timeline to where we were at last year. In our network, five of those wells available for comparison have increased. The vast majority from last year have increased. 45 wells that are available for comparison. The average decline is 6 feet. The maximum decline just over that year basis with this below normal precipitation event is 30 feet. And again, this is not the best for some residents, but it's good for the study to understand how this precipitation will impact wells on that annual basis. So it's a really important year for our monitoring network. Next year, our federal fiscal year is on October 1st. We're requesting $24,900, 50-50 match from USGS. And I'd like to thank the board for the consideration, for the time, and I'd be able to answer any questions you guys might have. If there's time, I'd like to post in chat a link to our data where everyone can see the data that we collect. So that, you know, there are no secrets here, essentially. I don't believe I'm able to share my screen, but with this link, you'll be able to navigate to our water level data that we collect and click out on individual sites similar to the Google Map type interface. So with that, if anybody has questions on the link or how to access data, I'm always available. I'd be happy to answer any questions before that.
Very good. So why don't we go to Commissioner Carmona first, since this is your neighborhood. Do you really have questions or comments to make, David?
I just would like to thank Dave and his team and obviously Story County taxpayers for doling out some money to do this study. I mean, it is very important to us, I know we're all looking forward to his results every year that he puts those out. Just a big thanks. I know it takes some work out there and, keep doing what you do.
Thank you.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any comments there, any questions?
I have a question of Austin at this point. I'm just curious. Let's assume that the water study is finished here after the year, and it appears that that we're going to collectively, as a community and a county, address some of the water enhancement issues in the Highlands. So, Austin, what is the process? I know we have 1 acre and 10 acres and 40 acres, and we're a private community out there. Without getting out of the weeds, what is the process generally that we would take if, in fact, we needed to do some water support, if you will, in the Highlands?
I'd be happy to answer that, Mr. Commissioner. You'll notice that later in the agenda that we have an item two, we have to do a minor update to it. But this board approved at the last meeting, memorandum of understanding between Story County, Carson City, and Tumwa, to engage in discussions on the negotiation of the next Carson City Water Agreement. The most simple part of that is to restructure that agreement for the Comstock, for Franktown, the Cream Water that's been available to us for 100 years. There's another part of that contract you'll notice dealing with future potential water and possible surplus water in that system. This study will help us look at what the need is in the Highlands now and in the future, and then renegotiate that next agreement if there is surplus water available. We might have that to be able to measure and plan for use of the Highlands. And at that point is when we begin workshops with the people in that neighborhood and with this board on, how do we want that to happen? Do we want it to happen? What do the people in our community want? And there have been ideas shared with residents out there about different ways of, whether they want water, don't want it, or just want it at a specific location or a GID. Those are things that will happen in the next round of the plan. The master plan talks about some of that.
So it'll be a process, and we need the concurrence of the community before we can really do anything within the community, as much as they're a private community. And it would require a significant amount of infrastructure, I suppose. So some infrastructure CIP planning of some type, if in fact we could entertain the upgrade.
I believe you're asking me, yes, that's correct. We would have to develop capital improvement plan. We would look with Lars Group on, you know, like USDA rural development grants are available, loans are available, other sources like that for infrastructure. The first step will be this MOU with, between those folks I described, is determining what water is available from that system, if any, and then if it isn't, what other sources are potentially available to start planning out what we might be able to do to provide in their community as it desires.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right. So, Mr. Smith, when this program first started, I think you only had a handful of people participating in the Highlands, and now you've got a pretty good selection. Are you still looking for more people to volunteer, or do you have a, do you think you have a sufficient amount of people participating in your study?
That's a great question. As far as the coverage that we have, it's pretty good in the Highlands, for the density of the patients we're monitoring. We've never turned down anyone as far as if they have questions. What we'll like to do is like go out to their well, collect a measurement, but then point them to a, perhaps their neighbor's well, where we're collecting data, and show them that, hey, this is probably a similar response to what's happening in your well, especially if the wells are at similar depths. We're able to do that. But again, if anyone has questions on their well or would like us to come out to take a measurement, that's been part of the study this entire time, we'd be happy to do so.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Mr. Smith. At this time, we'll go ahead and we'll open up for any public comment. Anybody would like to make public comment, please identify yourself for the record, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Hearing no public comment, if I could ask Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion to approve this contract with the USGS.
Yes, Chairman, just 1 second. I, Jay Carmona, approve the amendments presented to staff for the Memorandum of Understanding. Is that, am I on the wrong agenda item?
Yeah, you're on 11. We need to go back to number 10.
Number 10, my apologies. Based on the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, authorize the county manager to approve a contract with the USGS up to $25,000 to continue the voluntary and limited monitoring of groundwater levels and quality aquifer conditions and other geotechnical matters in the Virginia City Highlands, Highland Ranches, and the Virginia Ranches area of Story County during the 2021 fiscal year.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Smith, thank you for attending today's meeting, and good luck here going forward with the continuation of studying our wells out in the Highlands.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Commissioner.
All righty.
Thanks about that.
With that, we'll move on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of amendments to the 72120 Memorandum of Understanding between Story County, Carson City, and the Truckee Meadows Water Authority as a preliminary expression of general intention and to provide the basis for the negotiation of a definitive agreement with the state of Nevada with respect to deliveries of water from the semi-owned Marlette Lake water system. Mr. Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll start for the record. At the July 21 County Commission meeting, you all approved an MOU between us and the parties that you described here to negotiate a successor Carson City Water Agreement. As discussed earlier, this would be to discuss water that's available currently as well as future potential demand, future potential surplus in the system that can be used between Carson City as well as Story County, mainly for the Comstock, Silver City, Gold Hill, Virginia City, and American Flat, and then potentially for areas like the Highlands and Mark Twain, as we discussed earlier. We've done a couple, between all of us, a couple of things we'd like to just clarify in the MOU, and it's just adding Story County to the parties in the preamble. There's a minor error, typo. And then clarifying the parties with regard to future use as it applies properly to the different people involved. Pretty much the same agreement, 2 years, and everything else remains the same.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
Not at this time.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, sir?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right, we'll open up. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Mr. Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve this MOU.
Yes, I, J. Carmona, move to approve the amendments presented by staff to the 7/21/2020 Memorandum of Understanding between Story County, Carson City, and the Truckee Meadows Water Authority, to clarify language, strengthening Story County's participating role in the MOU, and clarify language regarding the potential surplus water for current and future use by the parties. This amended MOU will supersede the 7/21/2020 MOU.
Very good. All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Mr. Gilman, I think your mic is turned off.
I'm sorry, it was aye.
And aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. This time we're going to move along to item number 18, discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of acceptance of a HAVA election security grant in terms from the Nevada Secretary of State in the amount of $15,939.93 for the purpose of elections segregation and multi-factor authentication prototype project. Source of funds is the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. And I understand James Dean has taken this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is James. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Great. James Dean, Story County IT Director, speaking on behalf of Vanessa Stevens, Clerk Treasurer. So this is a project set up by the Secretary of State's office to segregate the elections network completely from the rest of the county, make it standalone and totally auditable and basically unassailable is the goal there. The amount that you see before you is something that we would pay up front and then they would reimburse us. We already have quotes for the hardware and software to make this happen, and we have a plan to move forward. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
I don't have any questions, Mr. Dean. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for James?
No, I do not.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any questions for James?
I do not as well.
All right, this time we'll open this up for public comment. Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, J. Carmona, move to accept the grant award and terms from the Nevada Secretary of State in the amount of $15,939.93 for the purpose of election security.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second that motion.
Been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 19, discussion for possible action. This is approval of business license second readings, A through E. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Yes, the Community Development Department recommends approval of second readings A, B, C, D, and E.
Is there any public comment regarding these business license second readings? Hearing no comment, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve the second reading of business licenses A through E.
I'll second that motion.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now, we move on to item number 20. This is for public comment. Please, if you'd like to make public comment, please speak clearly and identify yourself for the record. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Chairman, I'd like to jump in here real quick. I just received notice that longtime Story County resident Doreen Backus passed away this morning at 10 a.m. She was a former clerk treasurer, and I know a friend of quite a few folks in town, so just wanted to get that information out there.
Thank you for that, Jay. Our condolences go out to the Backus family. Any additional public comment today? All right, we'll adjourn and we'll see you on September the 15th.